maze of conspiracy unfolds in our nation's history. As the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land. And once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves,
we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
We the people of the United States of America,
our God reigns and proclaims liberty.
We the people of the United States of America,
we the people of the United States of America.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is April 13th. We are back and we've got Richard on the line, we've got Paul on the line, and we've got Josh on the line. And we'll just go ahead and just start over there. Josh, you want to start us off with a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've given us. We do pray that you'd, that you'd lead us, that you'd guide us, direct us, Lord. Pray that you'd grant us words to speak, Lord. Help us know when to speak and when to be silent. Pray that we wouldn't waste a moment of this day, Lord, that we would keep your kingdom first in mind, Lord, that we take every opportunity that we have before us to grow the kingdom, Lord. We pray that you grant us that full armor of Ephesians 6, Lord. Pray that you put it on tight, Lord, and help us to have our boots laced up and, Lord, take serious the battle that's raging around us, Lord, and that we would abide in you, Lord, that we'd enter into that rock and we'd have that protection, Lord, and that we wouldn't be washed off by the waves that come against us, Lord. We thank you for all things and pray that you help us to remember to be thankful for all things. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Josh. Well, it is April 13th, 2024, and a lot of things that have happened, a lot of things that are weather changes, wind storms, all kinds of stuff. Last week we were here at we couldn't have church from the La Porte Church of Christ because of these high winds and shut down the power grid and just basically gave us notification that we are shutting your power off and shut it off for over 24 hours. And we had some winds. Still, they're still recovering from it. There's people that lost roofs, trees blow down all over the place, fences that are gone, just 100-mile-an-hour winds. It was like a hurricane. You're sitting in the house, and the whole house is shaking, and you did not want to go outside. It was very interesting, and it was the first time that I've ever seen, for this area at least, 100-plus-mile-an-hour winds that were forecasted ahead of time. And basically, you know, they're saying, oh, here it's coming, and it was crazy because they were telling us, you know, 2 days ahead of time, okay, all right, get ready for the 100-plus-mile-an-hour winds. And everybody was talking about it, and it was something that people hadn't heard of before. So it was interesting. They ended up shutting the power grid down as precaution to because we are dry. We are I don't know if we're in a drought, but everything's dry around here. And they didn't want the fires to start, so they just turned it off. And I don't know. It was definitely interesting.
Yeah. And that's, the thing, it is, ultimately it's their power grid. And so therefore they make the choices of who gets power and who doesn't. And, but we know the driving force behind that is liability and lawsuits. And, they're trying to, protect everyone's best interest because, wildfires can be a lot worse than being out of lights for a few hours.
Exactly, and that's what, from what I understand, that's what why they did shut him down is because of the lawsuits that they're facing in Texas. Same power company, Xcel Energy, and they're facing a bunch of lawsuits over some of the fires that are taking place over there. We did have some fires from another power company, Poudre Valley REA. There was about five small fires that started when they didn't power down, and they're getting gone on after. So you know, it basically they're coming out and they're like, okay, well, you know, next time we'll just shut down the power too. So I don't know. It's one of those things that and so many people had such a hard time with this power being out for 24 hours. And talked to several people, and it's, you know, we lost everything in our freezer and we lost everything in our refrigerator. And I'm like, and it's, you know, how did you lose everything in your freezer? And
they stood there with the door open, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, we just, you know, kept checking it. We, you know, checked it every hour just to make sure everything. It's like, well, that was the problem, is you should have kept the door closed and not opened it, and everything would have been fine. And you know, it was interesting, just because just a few, you know, preparations. Is what we did is I went out to the shop and grabbed two coolers, and we took them in the house and we put them next to the refrigerator. And I told my wife, I said, you know, put anything that you're gonna that you want to use out of the refrigerator into the coolers, and make sure that the refrigerator door stays shut and don't get in the freezer. And so we put two coolers out there, and you know, we had the had what we needed there in the coolers and kept the refrigerator door closed, and everything was fine. Of course, you know, I did end up firing the generator up for a while and plugging it in to cool it down. But it was, you know, before this whole thing happened, my brother called me, and you know, he said, hey, your generator's running. I said, yep. And he's like, well, we need to go through mine. I think it might have some old gas in it. So he brought it over and we drained the tanks on it and got it running, made sure everything was running, and got all the generators running. I mean, you know, it's more is better. Ended up having a couple people that needed to stop by and borrow one for water and livestock and different things, so was able to help them out as well. But you know, just, you know, being prepared too, it's so important, and it goes a long ways. And it's, you know, sometimes it's just a little bit of planning ahead and can make all the difference for going through a disaster and it not being such an inconvenience. And I was just you know, amazed at how many people I just talked to, and you know, being without power for 24 hours, and they talked about, oh, how bored they were and how inconvenienced it was. And even when the power came back on, then they didn't have internet, and it's like, you know, they didn't even have internet on their phone, and we couldn't get the cell phone signals out. And oh, it was just, I mean, just the inconvenience. And it really shows you just how people have to, you know, be plugged in basically 24 hours a day.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought? Maybe take time to talk to your family instead of text them. And, you know, sit around and, like you did, Jason, help a neighbor out. You know, look and see if something else could be done. But yeah, the people are so lost. They just, you know, they're like ants that something's come across their path. They just don't know what to do. They get out of that routine and they get off their phone and don't know what to do. It's pretty sad.
Well, but that's, like, from Jason's perspective, that was an opportunity to go through and get his stuff lined out, because, you know, it is, we got so much going on all the time, and sometimes we might not do that maintenance that we need to until we need to. And so it sounds like you got everything running and going well, and that was a blessing. But, you know, we got to see those opportunities whenever we get the chance. So, you know, opportunity for you to be a blessing to some of your neighbors And, you know, I always talk about and think about, we discussed the fact that talk is cheap, you know, but show me, you can, you know, I can show you better than I can tell you. And, you had the opportunity to do that. And so many times we have opportunity in those situations when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing to just have a simple conversation with folks and, you know, opens up doors, but, it's an opportunity to act and to help people. And it seems like you, I don't know if you passed the test, but it doesn't sound like you failed. So.
Yeah. Well, there was plenty of opportunities. It's, you know, we were chomping at the bit to get out and get something done too. I mean, you know, you're out there, then you fire up the chainsaw as soon as the wind's dying down and start chopping up trees. And boy, we chopped up trees and picked up branches I had another neighbor that called up and said, "You have a chainsaw?" And I said, "Yeah, I got a chainsaw." And can I borrow it? And I said, "No, you can't borrow it." I said, "I'll come over there and cut that tree up there for you, though." this person is one of those people that you know, there's certain people, no disrespect, but you just don't want to hand them a big gas-powered chainsaw and say, "Go cut that tree up."
Probably will not end up well.
No. But, I mean, it was, you know, the Lord was definitely good to everybody. I mean, I don't think that, there was nobody that was severely damaged. And it was interesting. Everything just, you know, was shut down. It was, the people weren't out on the roads. They weren't driving around, the next day on, I get Monday, you know, there was tree crews out all over the place and power company was out fixing lines and stuff. And then there was quite a few downed power poles. I mean, completely blown down and hit the ground. I mean, it would have been, if they would have been hot, it would have been a bad deal. So it was, you know, it was a good thing that they were shut down. But one of the things that I did that I noticed too is the day of the eclipse, did you guys all watch the eclipse?
It was cloudy down here, so
was it? See it. Okay,
I did see some videos.
It was just interesting, and the reports that I got coming in off of that too is just how many people, how quiet there was in so many places, and how it was just and. I know for me and for several people that I talked to, just to be able to observe that, it was a different feeling. It was strange. It was like there was this just this calmness strange deal when it happened. And not sure what it was. I know that there was a lot of people that were, you know, saying, "Oh, this is it. This is going to be the a major change, and we're going to have a shift, and this and that." And, you know, I think that the important day that we kept was Passover, and I really believe that, you know, it is significant having this, you know, sign in the heaven directly afterwards. But I still, maintain that it is a time of repentance. And, you know, you look at the story of Nineveh, you know, they basically had their 40 days to repent.
Well, if it didn't do anything else, it ought to make you feel small. You know, when you're looking there and you're seeing this celestial event in heaven, and, I mean, so many times we look at things in perspective that we're the center of the universe. Oh my goodness, I can't text. You know, my TikTok isn't working on my phone. This is so inconvenient. I can't believe they cut my lights out. Well, okay. Well, if they hadn't cut the lights out, what if some people had burned up in their homes like they did in Texas? You know, would that have been a bigger deal for you to have been able to watch your TikTok videos and people lose their lives? You know, it's a trap to get that way. But a lot of times we do look at things like we're the only thing that matters, you know, from a selfish perspective, instead of looking at things from a godly perspective. And, you know, that, hey, pal, it's your responsibility to have you a little generator that runs so that you can make sure that your food doesn't ruin in your refrigerator. And, you know, instead of going out to eat one night and taking the family to a show or whatever, you know, have you a little small generator. And that is, it is our responsibility to be prepared and to have that. I know that's one of the things that Mr. Paul has talked about a bunch is, you know, our accountability and, you know, us not checking our responsibility and putting it off on somebody else. It's important.
Yeah, very much so.
I looked at YouTube right after the eclipse and stuff like that, and you talk about changing. There's McCarthy. He just comes out and said this: women preachers are just a disgrace to America. You know, he just laid right into them, and then he was laid. People have laid into Joel Osteen, and I don't know, but several of the black guy confronted that Joel. He says, "Why aren't you telling people what sin is?" He said, people need to know that. You know, he just laid right into them. And this is going on the YouTube right now. I mean, they're just, I'll tell you what, you really get confused if you watch it too much because there's every opinion coming on there and be chaos, so you better know what you believe. But this McCarthy, too, he just laid into him, but he said the next thing is the rapture. You know, I kind of flipped my switch. but everything else he said was good right up to then. So, I mean, you're on your own if you listen to that. But I tell you what, that thing, when that eclipse went through, that YouTube lit up with all kinds of truths and half-truths, you know. It just, something happened at that time.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of times, I used to be a first responder and friends with a bunch of them, and the moon phases have an effect on animals, on people, on the fish that bite, on everything. I wonder if it's something similar to that. Like, because, you know, it's a well-known fact in the first responder community that whenever it's a full moon, there's going to be some crazy stuff happen. Like, there's out of the ordinary that people are going to do crazy things. And that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, some of the worst wrecks that you'll ever see are on a full moon. I mean, people are drinking more, they're partying more, they're driving faster. I'm not talking about driving faster. That doesn't apply to you, Josh, because you're always driving fast. But I've crazy things happen on the full moon. I mean, it's not just in the movies, but the werewolves. That's for sure.
I have heard too, in rest homes in the full moon, something, you know, something's really different. Yeah, Spirit of God moves.
You know, just back to the preparation. And this morning, I was thinking about being prepared, and is in a different sense as far as putting on that full armor and God preparing us for the day. And it is so important that we start our day with prayer and that we do look to Him for the answers. And then when we ask, when we look to Him, we ask, be looking for the answers so that we can see it, you know, praying in faith and believing. And there's no other shelter that'll cover you like what He does. He doesn't fail. And I was just thinking about that and how important it is. You know, there's a method to everything. You know, God's all about order, and He expects certain things out of us, and we should try to fall in line with that. And whether it's a full moon or if the lights are out or, you know, whatever the situation may be, that's how we fill our tanks up with gas, is by, you know, being with Him and asking Him for that protection, for everything that we need. And and giving him credit whenever we get it.
Well, and I think that you know, that ties in with, you know, being prepared, is, you know, one of the things that we did in preparation was for the future and for, you know, what I believe is, you know, our survival, our protection is, you know, by observing the Passover on April 2nd. And, you know, if people didn't observe the Passover on April 2nd, they get a second chance, and they can do that 30 days later, which is May 2nd. And, you know, that's, you know, that's kind of, well, it is one of those things that we can do in preparation for the future.
Yeah, and I think that it reminds me of what you said, Josh. It's you know, we can only do so much. But when we do what we can do and what we're directed to do, and that one of those things is, you know, certainly prayer and looking for opportunities to love our neighbor, but also I think keeping the Passover. When we do what we're supposed to do, that lines things up. That you know, that puts us in that position of a friend of God. You know, not just well, being known by him. You know, and loving him and obeying him. And when we do that, I mean, that's the thought that occurs to me, that lines things up. That puts you in that protection. You know, you put on that full armor of God. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and God's blessings and promises are there. And then they come out, just like you mentioned, Jason, about, you know, you were ready. You know, hey, they're cutting the power off, so you just make a couple preparations, and you're good to go. And able to take care of your family and you know, neighbors if needed as well. And that does, that you know, it's like that sign pastor used to have, the greatest sermons are lived, not preached. And that's living it, and people see that. People see that and remember it.
Mr. Paul talks about that. You know, insurance is one of the things that destroys that the most, because we look at that as a small G God, and I'd probably add FEMA and everything else that they've done to prop us up and give us something else to look to other than looking to God.
Yeah, insurance has removed our responsibility. Health insurance removes our faith, and car insurance removes our responsibility. You see, and people, well, even the whole medical thing, if you don't have insurance, you can't afford it. They're just pushing right out of the hands of the people, which is a good thing. You know, all things work together for good to those that believe. You know, I believe, I don't always understand, but I certainly do believe. And we don't know how this always is coming down, but we have to be willing to adjust to it. You know, we can't complain about being bored or anything like that, being out of power and internet and everything. Probably the best thing that ever happened was we got rid of the dang internet, you know, because people are so, there's nothing wrong in itself. It's just, it's abused. The computer too, you know, you should have built a car where you could flip that thing off and keep on going instead of shutting the whole thing down. Tractors and everything. But, you know, tractor goes through the field. You don't have to drive it no more. It's really common. Never would go. I mean, they're all got GPS and stuff, and they'll go around a stump, and then you program it, it'll do that next year too. So it's quite amazing and dazzling people, but it also removes common sense, you know, go around the wet holes and stuff and learn how, you know, all those stuff that you learned when you were younger on a tractor and you didn't have all that stuff but people today are out of contact with reality. They are just flat out of contact with reality, how things operate. So, and we're going to go back to basics. I personally believe that the world has gotten to this high of technology before that, buried out there in the Pacific, the Atlantis, stuff like that. They left us at will, and I think that God can put us back on a horse and buggy if we need be. And I just, that's a personal opinion. I don't know if it's true or not. But I just think that we get too big for our britches. Tower of Babylon and all. And God has a way of putting us back and we're in boxes. So.
Well, and it dumbs us down. I know I say it with myself, and I believe it to be true, that most people fall victim to depending on the technology, and you don't have to think because it will do the thinking for you. And that's not a good thing because we know that the way to get stronger with anything is to do it, you know, repetition. And whenever you don't do math with the pen and paper, whenever you don't look up something in an encyclopedia, whenever you don't navigate by a road atlas or a paper map, I mean, those are skills that have got to be honed. And we, the older generation, we could get that back pretty easy. It's like riding a bicycle, you know, you could go back to it. But our children have never been exposed to it because there's no need to it. So it's not something that they can go back to that they did for years before. You know, they do not have any knowledge of what it takes to live without this technology for the most part. And I'm just going to speak for myself on that because I'm too lazy to do without it myself to show them, you know, a different way and at least to do it enough that they would be proficient at it. And I believe it affects everyone that way, you know, of relying on the technology because it is so easy and so convenient. But there is an effect that it has is, you know, you lose ability and we don't learn as much because you got Google. You don't have to know what the appropriate flywheel stator gap on a Briggs & Stratton 3.5 horsepower motor is anymore off the top of your head because you can Google it.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, you know, you had to know that measurement to be able to work on them or else you had to go find a book somewhere, you know. So instead I mean, think about how many people's phone numbers do you know now compared to what you used to know? Because now you just hit a button that says their name instead of having to be able to dial a number, you know?
I was thinking about that yesterday, Josh. I had to run to Denver and do some running around down there. And, you know, punching this, you know, being able to just, you know, punch the address in there in the GPS and... You know, you're driving down there and it says, warning, you know, speed trap ahead. And then it says, okay, that you got traffic up ahead and, you know, let's take an alternative route. You know, this will save you 15 minutes and stuff. And, you know, I was laughing about it, but it's like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we didn't have that technology. You know, you're getting out the roadmap. You're, you know, I remember being, you know, trying to get from to a place out in Nebraska, you know, it seems like yesterday, but yeah, you know, 20 years ago or something, 25 years ago. And, you know, I had to stop at the gas station and go in there and, you know, you got to, where's your maps at? And, you know, they had a map section and, you know, pulled out the map and tried to find the town and tried to figure out what roads I needed to get on to, you know, to get there to you know, a certain place. And, it was quite different than it is now, and you know, my children wouldn't have any idea or any concept of that.
And you had to sit there and plan your route, you know, and then pay attention as you were driving to the signs and to what it said. So, you know, you were more alert. I remember I used to travel when I was young. My grandpa took us, and we traveled a good bit and did, and. Like I was the navigator. That was my job. I was Siri or Waze or, you know, whatever your preference was. And, you know, we talked about it beforehand, but I would make sure that we didn't pass up any exits or whatever we were supposed to do. And then other times my grandpa was a man. And, so therefore we didn't need a map. And, yeah, we may or may not have made a few loops on some, a Birmingham bypass one time, but it made for a good story and we all laughed about it. But that's the one thing I try to do if I'm in a different area is I might use my GPS to get there, but like I travel working some, so I try to use my GPS to get there the first time, but then like I try to pay attention and learn where I'm at so I don't have to depend on it. And it's not as good as sitting out with paper map, but you know, learning the area and being aware of your surroundings and seeing where to turn. And but I tell you what, too, that thing can cause some wrecks whenever it's telling you to turn the wrong way down a one-way street or
yep,
whatever. I know I've been a part of and seen other people get in a bind whenever it gives you wrong directions, because you're like, we're used to listening to it. You know, we're programmed to listen to it. Not real sure why yours was warning you about the speed trap, but yeah.
They have that problem out here, Josh. The road will get closed because of weather, and you'll see these truckers will do that. They follow that GPS or these SUVs with California plates, or EVs, I should say, and they end up, you know, they're following some forest road that they think is the road, and it's not even a two-track, and you'll see that every now and then, a big tractor trailer way off. And they've got to get him towed out, or, you know, people that just, they blindly follow that GPS, and they, it's like they don't think twice about it. And it causes problems out here. It really does. And I hate them. I'm the same way. I use them, especially going into, you know, going to an area I haven't been before. And I use it on my phone. Yep, plug it in. Where's it at? Turn here, turn there. But I hate them. I do. I yearn for the day for the old road atlas map. You know, that you could look on the map. I remember traveling between Central Florida and Savannah, Georgia, as a young child in the back seat, and you know, you look at the road signs, and here's Brooksville. And so then you look on the map. Oh, there's Brooksville, the paper map. That's where we are. And you go a little further. Oh, there's Saratoga. Oh, you look on the map. Oh, there's Saratoga. And that was the limit. That was it back then. But yeah, it's that convenience we've talked about that we live that. You know, some of us know that we could step out of that if need be, you know, but you have to kind of prepare for that and practice it sometimes.
And that's our responsibility. You know, it's hard to follow a map if you don't have one. So
right,
we need to make sure that we got an atlas, and that we teach our children that, hey, this is a map and this is how it works. You turn to the page, you know, there's 4 pages for Colorado, and you find the area that you're going to be in and show them how to read the map. You know, I know it sounds silly, but it could definitely be relevant if you don't have any phone service and can keep you from getting in a bind, you know?
Sure.
Well, and I think that it's important to recognize that, you know, our Bible is our roadmap too. You know, it should be our roadmap for our lives, and you know, sometimes there's things that you gotta learn, and you gotta go back to, and you know, it's going back to the manuals. And you know, I was talking with some people the other day, and you know, telling them about just the importance of having a concordance, and they'd used, you know, these Bible word search engines and stuff that was, you know, online or phone apps and stuff like that, but had never used a concordance. And, you know, how it takes a little bit of work to be able to navigate that thing as well, but it's something that's very well worth spending some time and learning how to use one. And I think everybody should have one of those, you know, on the shelf.
Back to your preparation there, and I use both concordance and my phone, but it's just, to me, you know how whenever you cook from scratch, how the flavor is just better.
Yep,
it's the same thing to me when you're using that concordance, and when it's, you're not looking at what somebody else thinks about what the Bible says. You know, it's just the pure ingredients there of, okay, I'm going to look up this word and look at the scriptures that contain this word. And to me, it's just better.
Yeah.
Not saying that I don't use my phone to look things up, because I do. But go ahead, Paul.
It's very important that you study that Bible yourself. You know, you can hold that preacher to the standard. And you know, I think Pastor Peter once said the best way to get to a Catholic, get him to read the Bible. Because when you start reading the Bible and holding that preacher to the Word, everything changes. Especially when you know the Bible says, too, if you dwell on the law, you cannot be moved. I mean, that, you're anchored, and people can't affect you then. When you know, but when somebody tells you, they think, oh, they're smart, they read that. And that's what so many people do, is trust that preacher. And he's not trustworthy. Even if he is, you should hold him to the standard. You know, and just look at these churches. Everybody thinks, oh, their pastors are so great. But there's three things they never teach, is what sin is in baptism for the remission of sin, and who the real people are. And they never teach that. If they did, they'd be taken off that air so quick they wouldn't know what hit them. And every one of them on TV that is there is, don't preach those three things. It's just, you, they don't. And when you get that, then you get suspicious of everybody, you know. Even Pastor Peter, I held him to the Word because I didn't trust anybody when I met him. And but he stayed with the Word. You know, I didn't really particularly like the guy at first, but I did. I'd gotten over that real fast, so.
When we know that we are men, we're human, and so we're going to be wrong. And if you don't think so, right, think back to who you used to be and what you used to believe until you learn better, and you can see that you used to be wrong. And so, therefore, that whole, you know, the trust but verify thing. And then sometimes it's funny because one of my friends I work with, they said, I'm changing it to verify but trust, you know, like I'm going to verify first now, that, you know, before I trust anything. And, you know, but it's the truth. We know that we're human and we're going to be wrong. So before we go believing something, we need to verify. Okay, what does the Bible say about that? That, you know, what, go back to the owner's manual, you know, the encyclopedia, the dictionary, our path that's been laid out ahead of us. What does the Bible say about this before I just start believing it? Because this guy that I really like preached this sermon, giving me his opinion on it.
I had my shortwave radio on the other day, and I was listening to somebody, and boy, I tell you what, they made some stuff in it. It sounded good and sounded good and sounded good, but it's something in the back of my head gets like, no, that really don't make sense. And then, you know, I did, you know, kind of like what you do sometimes, is I pulled out my phone and I started doing a word search and on a concordance, and everything went back to what the Bible said. And it's like, yeah, this is not, you know, this guy, he could make it sound good. He could make you believe it. He may make you want to believe it. And made you actually feel good about it. But then when you look at what the Word says, it was, you know, completely 180 degrees off.
And a lot of times that might be just a simple mistake. And not necessarily that this is an evil guy that's trying to destroy your kingdom. You know, we're wrong sometimes. We get things twisted. And that's why it is so important. I was thinking about earlier, if you got a group of people that get together and everybody's in agreement on everything, always, you're doing something wrong, because, you know, we should be measuring everything that we believe as a group and making sure that it's right. And we shouldn't be afraid to offer, you know, I'll say a different perspective, or the truth, or what have you, because we're going to be wrong sometimes. I know you and I have had that happened in the past, where, you know, I was saying something that wasn't correct. You're like, I'm not sure about that, and look into it. And, well, I had it twisted. You know, I had, I was remembering it the opposite of what it was, according to Scripture. And it happens, but we owe it to each other as members of the body of Christ to, you know, if somebody's incorrect about something, I'm not saying to call them stupid and hit them with a club, but, you know, to say, hey, I don't think you got this right, you know, and then give them the Scripture of whatever it is that you're looking at, and tell them whether they take it or not.
Well, that's what a teachable spirit is. That, you know, we are teachable. You know, we all know that we're not infallible. So, and that just changes your whole thing when you are teachable. It's a different person. care how long a banana, you're still teachable.
When we used to value and respect people with gray hair because they've been there and they've done that. And I'm not saying they're perfect because you can do the wrong thing for a long time too. But for the most part, somebody that's lived their life longer has seen more things than what you have. And, you know, they probably got a pretty good perspective to offer, even if it's what not to do. And but anymore, it seems like we devalue our elderly instead of valuing them more and holding them up as a treasure that we could take. And, you know, I always try to learn from other people's mistakes. It's way cheaper that way than whenever you got to do it yourself. If I watch Jason hit his thumb with a hammer, I don't need to hit mine with a hammer too, just to say, you know, that does hurt. You're right, pal. You know, it's gonna bleed. I should say, well, I'm not hitting my thumb with a hammer. Let me hit myself in the elbow and see if that hurts. Do something different. Like, don't make the same mistakes that everybody else around you is doing. You know, we should learn from each other's mistakes, and that adds more value to ourselves. That's why we're sharing this morning, is, you know, we want other people to not have to, we want to get the value out of the lessons that we've learned in life, the full value, instead of just part of it. So if I can pass on some wisdom to somebody else of, hey, don't do this because this is how it's going to end up, then hopefully I can keep them from making that mistake and share them the truth and spare them the pain and the time lost and maybe the financial hardship that comes along with being my kind of stupid. Do something, you know, make different mistakes. And that makes my mistakes worth more. You get more value from it whenever you share with others than if you just hold it to yourself and then watch them fail the same way that you did.
Well, and that's one of the things that we've talked about for a long time is, you know, the things that God has put us through, so we can learn a lesson, so maybe we can teach somebody else that lesson so that they don't have to learn it the hard way like we did.
And maybe it's not even that God put us through it, it's just that we're stupid and he let us do it, you know, or make poor decisions, however you want to put it. Because a lot of times it's our own doing. It's not necessarily that God
right
wants you to get stuck in the mud, but if you see the water lilies out there and you choose to walk across it anyway and get stuck in the mud, you know, he didn't do it to you. You did it yourself, you know. You go spend all your money on something stupid and you can't pay your light bill. You know, God didn't put you in these financial hardships. You did it. He allowed you to, you know. But yeah, I definitely understand and agree with what you're saying. But that's all, you know, one of the reoccurring things is preparation. And every day we should be living to further the kingdom and to learn. And whenever you do that, we should get a little bit closer to God every day and be better equipped to help each other, that iron to sharpen iron and be more prepared. And so that we can be a help to those people. We know that it's scriptural that the ones that hire on that 11th hour are just as well off as those that's been doing it their whole lives, and maybe better, you know. But we should want to be those tools to help somebody get on that boat right there at the last minute before we go over to waterfall. I mean, that shouldn't be anything any better for us than to be helping to equip the saints to be successful.
Well, Jesus made himself a servant just like that, you know, and that's our thing too. We have to, we always have to be trying to raise someone up, you know, watch them make a mistake and be there for them when they're ready to listen. So, yeah.
Yes, it's you know, definitely a learning process, and you know, I think that's one of the things that we just, you know, want people to be prepared for. You know, there is the spiritual preparations that we need to be making and working and trying on. There's the physical preparations that we need to be working in, and you know, try to do a good job at what we're doing. And I think that you know, that's one thing that you know, we've been, you know, Paul pointed out a long time ago, and it's something that really stuck with me. And it's, you know, one of the most important jobs that I have here on Earth is to train my replacements. And you know, I look back at some of the stupid stuff that I've done, and I don't want them to make those same mistakes. I want them to be better than me. I want them to be stronger than me. I want them to be, more biblically sound than I was. I mean, just on all aspects of it, you know, I want them to have, you know, better skills than I have. That's what, you know, it's the next generation. And it's, you know, you look at this, public school system, and they're not going to get an education there. It's, you know, it's up to us as mothers and fathers and to train these next generation.
And part of that is not forsaking the assembly. I mean, you can do it by yourself, but it's a whole lot easier with help. And if you know who your neighbor is, it's a whole lot easier. You know, if you do have a need to go there and talk to that guy, then it is if you don't have a clue of who it is living around you. We should put some time into developing relationships with the people that are around us so that they know you and you know them and they know what you're about. And it's hard to influence someone if you don't know them, don't have any dealings with them ever.
The key is they got to want it, though, eventually. You know, we would help anybody that we could, but they have to seek after it too. You know, you can tell them where it is, what it is, but if they got to have that desire for it. You can't make anybody want it. They've got to have it.
Amen. Well, we've got just a few minutes left here this morning. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Well, remember, the Bible is the gospel. It's the good news, you know, that we got all this trouble going on around us and stuff, and it can be a distraction. We kind of got to wall that off and just remember it is the gospel. It is the good news. And if you get to Revelation, you know who wins, but there's going to be a lot of confusion here in the next few, I don't know how long, but it's the system's off its tracks. It's for completely forgotten God, and God's angry.
You know, an attitude is everything. Just we should be thankful for everything. Thankful that we were able to get up this morning and be wherever it is that you're at. You're right there where God wants you this morning. And how you look at things just changes your whole mood and whether or not you're successful or not. If you look at situations like that when the power outs, this is an opportunity to get better, to do something different, to talk to my neighbors, to be a light on a hilltop that shines, then you're going to be in a lot different mood than you are if you're just kicking the dust. Man, this stupid power's out. These people don't know what they're doing. You know.
That's right.
Just attitude's everything. And we should have an attitude of humility and thankfulness. And remember that apart from the blood of Christ, you don't even deserve to be here.
That homestead's a tsunami, whatever it is basically telling you don't depend on the system. Start thinking for yourself. Start preparing for yourself. And that's just an excellent book.
Well, thanks, you gentlemen. I appreciate you being here this morning. Thank you, Remnant, for joining us here for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And, you know, Lord willing, and the winds ain't blowing too bad, and the power's on, and internet's up, and everything. We'll be broadcasting live from the LaPorte Church of Christ tomorrow. And you can join us by going to scriptures4america.org. And we did get the Dragon Slayer newsletter emailed out yesterday. So if you would like to get that in the email, you can email me, jason@sfaw.org, and I'll make sure and get you added onto that list. We got it mailed out in the mail, snail mail, last week, earlier this week. And so let us know when you get that, and we'll be back here, Lord willing, next Saturday. We'll talk to you later.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Was slain, who have borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Come out of her, my people. Get on board for the Lord. The train's a-leaving.
Travel on! Travel on!
I played around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on.
Travel on.
Papa rides to Jacob. Jacob, come home. Jacob, come home. Oh, Jacob, come on home. Papa rides to Jacob. Jacob, come home, 'cause you've been in Babylon too long. I laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone, I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. Travel on. Trying to hold on to me, trying to hold on to me from Babylon I flee. Satan and sorcery trying to hold on to me, but I feel like I got travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone, I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. Travel on. Well, I wanna see my Lord, and I wanna see him bad. Wanna see him bad, I wanna see him bad. I wanna see my Jesus, wanna see him back. He's the only king this nation could ever have. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone, I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on.
We were not afraid to die. They drew the strength and courage from his power upon high.